Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
Welcome to the Extra Points podcast, powered by FanDuel. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear friend, Dave Damashek. What's happening, man? You believe it? There's so much going on the TV. Now that we even got past Sunday night, now it's just sports.
I know. You thought, who could possibly compete with one, the queen, and all the bad. But all of a sudden, Myers Leonard says, don't forget about me, everybody.
He
wanted to get his hat in the ring for biggest loser of the week. He's right in the running there. A lot of big losers this week.
That hat's not a yarmulke, apparently. No. He's going out on his own. Yes, a lot of big losers. I feel like I lost a little bit, Dave. I'm excited. I know you're the same way. I get very excited about the kids' sports coming back. And finally here in California, It's opening back up. My seven-year-old has a Little League game this weekend. I have a sophomore in high school who's playing football, banging heads. Very exciting. I've waited, I think, exactly a year. I think March 5th was their last organized anything. Archie wrestled or something. Had a dual meet on March 5th. Waited over a year. And now, Archie plays at 11 a.m. in Downey, 40 minutes away, and Harrison plays 11 a.m. Saturday right here in my hometown. So now I already have to decide between the two. Unbelievable. What
Perfect.
Do we do?
Well, that's a shame. Also, potentially a shame would be, do you go to any of the other parents on the other team and try to say, let's make this one a little more interesting?
Are
you able to throw some scoots down on it?
I'll tell you what I do. It's even worse. I sometimes don't want to go to the other dugout or the other side of the field or whatever. So I just bet a parent on our team and I'll usually take the other side. I'll bet against our kids. It's easier. Nice. What am I going to walk
you
over?
You don't know.
I don't like meeting new
people.
What
do we always hear about Joe Torre is like he knew how to push the right buttons and every player isn't the same. And maybe when a kid finds out, hey, he bet against you, maybe that lights the fire that he needs.
It does.
Tells your team to
victory. It might. But they never find out about it, so I don't think it's lighting any fire. But, hey, big news. Cowboys, I know you covered it on -3. I talked about it on Against All Odds with the fellas. Dak Prescott, 4 years, $160 million, a ton of it guaranteed. More guaranteed money than Romo made in his entire career, which is fine. It's a different time. I'm happy to not have to talk about it anymore, even though we're now going to spend 20 minutes on it. But your quarterback is set all within 6 days. Your quarterback's established. Big Ben back with the Steelers. Dak back with the Cowboys. Let me ask you this. Which team would you rather have right now?
First of all, let me say, mazel tov to you on a couple of levels. I know you and at least one of your boys is a Cowboys Cowboys rooter. So, so it picks you up. Well, what's number three like?
Well,
we know
he's
Harrison's
wearing
side of history with the Steelers.
No, Jack is a Steelers fan. My middle kid's all Steelers out. In fact, he ordered more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Jack's the Steelers guy. I'm sorry. Right.
Yeah.
I know Archie's a Cowboys guy.
Archie's a Cowboys fan. He'll always be treated the best in this house by me. I don't know. And Harrison bought a Chiefs hat or some crap after they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They didn't win this year, 2 years ago. But that's what kids do. I guess that's what I did. That's why I was a Cowboy fan. But
easy. Yeah, he went to the winning side.
That's
I guess
right.
We can't get
that's
on
right.
a little kid too much for that. But yes, and also I kept saying they should move on from Dak. I don't like the noise out of there. And you said no. It's going to happen. Don't worry. It's a non-story. And so it turns out Sal is right again. He was correct. So mazel tov on that. And the other thing is, I went back and forth on -3 when we talked about it earlier this week of if it's a great idea, because philosophically, I don't know that the team is that good that they can that percentage of the salary cap should be taken up by one guy. And then I thought about it for a second and I now realize it was the right thing to do because they're in the NFC East. And
that's
I'm not being
all.
Snarky. I do think for the next couple of years, I mean, Washington, unless Washington finds a good quarterback, I'm not sure exactly what resistance the Cowboys are going to get.
Well, think about it this way. Yes, Washington has the best unit. The best unit in the NFC East, right? Their defense. The Cowboys' offense is the second best unit. I don't even think you could argue that, right? Those are the top two. Maybe you could flip one and two. So to say that, yeah, I get it. $40 million a year in a year where it, well, what is it? 120. What's the salary cap this year? Is it
182.
182. Right. Okay. So you're talking about, why can't I do math all of a sudden? One over. So it's less than, it's more than 20% of the cap, right? It's not a crippling thing right now. It isn't. Obviously you want to fill holes in the offensive line and defensively, but when the team is already favored to win the division, and it's only a four-year deal. I know you talk about middle-class quarterbacks. I think he's a little better than that. Middle-class quarterbacks getting signed
to large. I agree that he is, yes.
Large right. contracts. This is not that. This is, they're not signing him. This is not a nine-year contract, right? Like, or for a Jimmy G or anything. It's 4 years. I know you like quarterbacks in their second and third year, but the numbers bear out that this is, he's in his prime right now, provided he can walk and all those other things that come along with this stupid injury. But I don't think they're in bad shape at all, the Cowboys. And that's why I'm asking you, Cowboys or Steelers, who would you rather be for this year? Let me ask it a different way. Who would you rather coach? Okay. And the idea is you have to win the Super Bowl. And if you don't, your entire family dies. Is that fair?
That is funny.
Okay, good. Good.
That is. Good.
All right. I just want to make people laugh. All right. So who are you going with?
Well, my family all of a sudden is on the edge of their collective seat. What's he going to say?
Yeah.
And are they going to have to root for the Cowboys in 2021?
Oh, they'll hate you
I
even
mean,
more.
Win the Super Bowl? If
you, yes. Right. So you have to make the playoffs to win the Super Bowl, right? Cowboys more likely to make the playoffs, right? Because the Steelers are plus 260 to win the division, I think, according to FanDuel. And let me see, where are they? Plus 280 now. The Steelers are to win the division. Cowboys are minus 105. So obviously that's not the only way you can make the playoffs. The Steelers are probably...
But wait, do I get the death sentence if I choose wrong and the other team wins the Super Bowl? Or am I just dead if my team doesn't win the Super Bowl?
You're good. You get to live. It's your family that perishes.
I mean, right. My loved ones are all going to be gone.
Right.
If I make the... But what if, so if we're both wrong, both of us, I mean, the good, you know what? If we both, if we play this just right, Sal.
Yeah.
You and I, in about like 10 months from now, you know, no offense to anybody listening, but we could be two swinging bachelor singles, you know, coxmen all about Southern California.
Wow.
Hey, listen, bad news for us, but good news for you, ladies. We're available now.
The Cowboys
a lot
went
of free time.
Cowboys went 3-13. The Steelers made the playoffs, but were vanquished by the Browns by 40 points. And yes, we're now single because of this dumb hypothetical I put together. No, really, though. You have to coach
one of
them.
I don't know. I mean, listen, who's up? It really is hard because...
Forget about the family thing for a second. I don't know.
I can't because now I feel... That's gravity.
All right. Okay.
You've injected it. Right. I'm going to go with the Cowboys because... You know, it's a little unfair. Things change so dramatically. I love this time of year when people start going through, like, have you looked at their strength of schedule this year? Do you see who their matchups are? Like, what do you know about what these teams
yeah,
are going to look
like?
Yeah,
you can't do that yet.
Come right. October before anybody even gets hurt, let alone what's going to go on in free agency, the draft, and all that
right.
stuff. So as of right now, the Cowboys have an easier path to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it's the Rams. With Matthew Stafford, the Packers mm-hmm. are going to be a good again.
Well, that's just part of the equation.
I mean, I'm trying to think of who's really scary right now. Who am I forgetting?
Let me just say, according to FanDuel, this is a very even proposition. The Cowboys are 29-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Steelers are 31-1. Above the Cowboys, the AFC teams are the Dolphins, the Titans, the Colts, the Browns. The Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs. So that's seven. And then I think you have seven.
Wait,
the way
Dolphins
too.
Are ahead of the Steelers?
Dolphins
really?
Are barely ahead. They're
they don't even know they're trying to trade their quarterback right now. And that team's ahead.
28-1.
I mean, listen, it's got to be the Cowboys. There's yeah. who in the South is now. Who stands as scary? A man in his early 40s can win the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay? Please, come on. Wake up, everybody. It's not going to happen.
Oh. All right. Except, well, I know you made the right pick. No, you saved your family, Dave.
I think so too, because if things go wrong and the Steelers mm-hmm. don't win the Super Bowl, then at least, or the Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl, I should say, and my whole family, I will not have as big a compunction yelling at Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott as I would the Steelers.
I see.
Trust.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'd feel a little bit bad about, like, you know, how could you do this to me, Minka Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, you
did provide me with some fun moments over the last few years. So, like, I'm not that mad at you.
Minka pays for all the funerals. I would just be, That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe they would. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think in that division, he stands immediately as the best quarterback. I mean, we don't know what Philly's going to end up doing. And Cam Newton makes some sense in Washington, although everybody feels like that's a slam.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I feel like in Washington, because Ron Rivera, that there's a connection there. And those things often do come true because past positive relationships do then. I mean, that's, you know.
He couldn't throw 5 yards in front of his face last year, Cam Newton. I can't. That guy can't be a starter. Can't be a starter. Unless you want to.
You really don't think so.
No.
You're that. I'm hearing people in New England pining for his return already. Because because who are they going to get? Everybody, the idea that Jimmy G, this idea, I forget the Boston beat writer who suggests, let's run it back. Jimmy G, let's get all the old guys back. Like, yeah, you're kind of missing the key ingredient. It's kind of like Journey without Steve Perry. ER without George Clooney. Like, run it back, except with the main ingredient. Hey, let's make some pizza, except this time, no dough.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't make any sense.
And also, I was saying Jimmy G coming back. Also, he has to want to come back, right? This is like, what's the Goodwill Hunting and, like, you know, Damon coming back to Affleck and say, hey, it didn't work out with the girl. Let's go drink some beers. Like, nah, that's not the ending you want. I don't think that's what Jimmy G wants. And the old man might want that. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I don't know what it is. What is it, Mariota? I don't think it's Cam. I think it's Mariota, someone like that. Maybe Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic. I was thinking about an Ivy Leaguer, all the cheating, the great cheating that could go on if you get him and Belichick together. My God, off the charts.
It is a great question to throw the Boston fans, and I know that they don't like hearing this from me. They think it's owed to me having a chip on my shoulder because the Patriots shame my team. So often over the last two decades, and perhaps there's something to that. But really, like we've been talking about, now that Tom Brady won a Super Bowl without Belichick's ridiculous rules in place, like, who wants to go there who has other options? If you can make the same amount of money and all of that and, you know, be reasonably competitive, there's no certainty, obviously, at this point that the Patriots are going to be. So it's not like, well, I'll put up with all the crap in exchange for a Super Bowl ring. Well, that's not... So Jimmy G, if San Francisco moves on from him, where is he reasonably going to get a shot to start outside of New England? The list is pretty short already.
It's very weird. The guy overthrew by 4 yards. He missed a Super Bowl. It's very strange. I know. I think these guys end up somewhere. It is weird, but because you say the middle class quarterback and everything, but Jimmy G was very close to winning a Super Bowl. And so was Jared Goff, right? Like that Cooks drop in the end zone. Like these guys were one or two passes away, these middle-class quarterbacks, from being Super Bowl champs.
As I always say, Eddie Spaghetti loves to argue with me about this because he loses the nuance of it. I am not saying you cannot be competitive for a season and you can't win a Super Bowl if you have a mediocre QB, a middle-class QB. Mm. The point is you will not continue to be competitive on a deep playoff run competitive if you try to roll with Jared Goff for too long. That will come back to bite you. Jimmy G, Carson Wentz, all these guys, they are not the real deal. You can be competitive for a season, maybe two, but you will come back to earth if that's who you choose to roll with.
I'm mad about that last statement you made. So
why? Go ahead, Spaghetti.
Well, because you know it's true. You know it's,
well, it's actually calling out your wrong. Like you saying Carson Wentz is not the guy is like literally a contradiction of what you were pushing the Eagles the past few years. So you're just going backwards on that statement.
Wait, what are you trying to shame me on?
You say Carson Wentz before he got hurt was the MVP of the NFL the year they won the Super Bowl.
Well, he was.
Yeah, but now you're going to go back and say he's not the guy to win it.
Spaghetti, you should understand this. Sometimes guys, they get a lot of hype and initially you think, oh, this guy's going to be really good. And then they just turn out to be a dud. You're familiar with that because you root for a team that has Capo Caco and Alex Lafreniere on it. Oh, you know, boy. Guys who were supposed to be good and are nothings.
All right, we can move on. Listen, Dave got it right. He said the Cowboys. His family gets to live maybe a week longer than they would have if he had said the Steelers. But obviously, I'd love to combine my offense and your defense, and then we'd have a superpower team, wouldn't we?
I mean, the thing with the Cowboys is that's bizarre is that old man Rod Marinelli, when he's there, they have a really good defense. And when he has not been there over the last decade, they're not just like, hey, they're not as good as you would have thought. They stink. Yeah, they stink to high heaven. It makes no sense given the pieces that they have.
And this is not a defensive draft either. And this is, and they have no money in free agency. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Just when
the best thing you have going for you with the Dak deal in the short term is that you now do have a high first. Now you have the 10th overall, so you can address one of those two things, you know. And what if Kyle Pitts falls to you? I don't think you can possibly say no to him. What if you dropped him in with all those pass catchers? I know it'd be easier to take an O-line or a difference maker on defense, one of those corners that everybody's talking about. But all of a sudden, that 10th pick feels juicy based on if you're reading all the mock drafts, and they might even be able to trade back a little bit, getting two players that can help.
That's
in the
craziness.
First round. And now that you don't have to worry about QB, it does liberate you to do
that. It's going to be fun. That's coming up soon. Football. Look at this. We're talking about football, Dave. What is this? How many? 22 minutes in, we talked football.
We got so many other things to talk about, Sal. The NBA's back. It's a glorious week of hot conference tournament action.
Yeah.
Puck.
Well, and all this stuff, it only makes sense if you're betting it on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. The app's simple to use. They have great, great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same game parlays, odds boost and specials, fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours, and you have an opportunity to win big. You place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place your first bet on anything, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. This is the most ridiculous offer you've ever seen in your life. No strings attached. You bet $1,000. You win, you keep the money. You don't, gets refunded to you. Place a bet NBA, college basketball, as Dave said, tennis, golf. You got the players coming up. If you win, keep the cash loose. Get entire bet back. Insight credit. If you never tried FanDuel Sportsbook before, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. And be sure to sign up with promo code ExtraPoints so they know that Dave and I send you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Let's give everyone a free winner here, Dave. Why not?
You want to talk futures? I know. Yeah, I know some of the audience favors those. This is a long range one, but you know the 2020. Everybody knows the Shecky Award for Fruit of the Year went to the Envy Apple. I don't know what's going to happen with Tom Brady. I don't know any of these other teams that won titles. The Envy's its opening bid to repeat as Fruit of the Year could not be stronger right now.
Really?
Take notice, Fruit World. The Envy Apple is trying to lap you right now. It is delicious. It doesn't abide by our traditional rules of when apples go out of season. I mean, we're into March, everybody. I don't know if you've noticed this. This thing's as delectable as it was on Christmas Day. It's a different apple. It's not the same apple that I ate on Christmas. And it's just his brother. But anyway, Envy Apples. Tell him Dave sent you.
Okay, good. Wow, I didn't have to dig too deep for a transition there. Dave likes the apple. I like the orange, as in Syracuse orange, +5 over Virginia. They beat up on NC State, 89-68. Buddy Boeheim is the best shooter of all time, I think. I don't know. I haven't seen anything better. 27 points. They still may need to win to get in. It's questionable. They may be in already. They lost by 23 to Virginia. Makes me like them even more. 10-3-1 in their last 14 Thursday games, Dave. And you know why this is important? Because this game is being played on a Thursday. That's it.
That makes sense.
10-3-1, last 14 Thursday games. And Virginia 1-4 against the number in the last five. So getting five, at least close game. Maybe they don't win, but it's going to be a close one. 61-58, 61-59, somewhere in there. Who do you like?
I'd love to ride this conference tournament train. You know how much I enjoy this week of hot college basketball action. I really want to take Duke. Not because I like Duke, but because we've seen it so many times before that when these teams that are out of the tournament, but they're talented enough that they can scrape together 4 or 5 wins in a single week. That's how Duke kind of looks right now. Florida State, though, I like Duke to keep it close, but Florida State also isn't just a gimme high seed, so they're playing for something. So I'm going to avoid that. I'd love to do NHL, but my NHL picks have been just dreadful lately. Just dreadful. It's very hard, but I'm honing in on how to win in that because every game on FanDuel is a goal and a half and looks like an appealing bet. I'm going to master that and get back to me on that in the next week or two, and I'll have figured it all out, and
all right,
I'll go 100% the rest of the regular season. So I'm going to go with the NBA here, Sal, and I'd like to go with the Celtics with Marcus Smart returning to play against the Nets. I don't know what Kevin Durant's status is at the time of this recording, so I have to avoid that one. So that all leads me to this. The Knickerbockers plus 11 in Milwaukee. A lot of money on the Knicks. I guess that's because they're a double-digit dog and the Knicks are a fun story and they're New York's team and basketball is more fun when the Knickerbockers are relevant. By the way, 7-3 against the spread out of their last 10.
Oh.
A middling 4-6 for Milwaukee against the number, and 11-8. What are they? 11-8 at home. Again, a middling number for one of the powerhouses in the East.
Right.
I'm going with the Knickerbockers, or shame the devil.
Let me tell you, Dave, I'm about to compliment you here. And maybe I have figured out how to bet the NHL because I did it on Fox Bet Live and I did it in real life. Today, I took your team, bet you made. I think you made it on Monday, right? When did we record? On Monday, you had the Edmonton Oilers over the Ottawa Senators. You gave a puck and a half, and they won 3-2 or 4-3? They didn't win by 2 goals, right?
Yes.
They couldn't get the empty netter.
Right.
I bounced back with Edmonton. With 1:50 to go in the third, they are winning 7-1. There you go. So that's a win. So thank you.
Well, good for you.
I'm gonna give you an assist.
I do blame ultimately against all odds fame, Harry, for Leon Draisaitl missing a wide open cage in the final minute that would have given me the victory.
That's his guy.
It crushed me. And I really started to put together a cross note to him. And then I realized he didn't ultimately probably have any influence on whether Draisaitl could hit the empty net.
Also,
or not.
Yeah, he wouldn't understand sarcasm, so it would have fallen on deaf ears and weirder eyes. I don't know what. So you that would have led to a 7 text exchange. So you're probably smart to not do that. I want to bet to the.
There's
got to
be
here.
Some math though. We'll get to it at a later date. I really do want to figure this out though, because so many of these games are going to overtime now in the NHL. And once it gets to a certain point, they're more than happy to get to the 3-on-3 stage of overtime in the last 5 minutes or so. You can feel that. It's almost like watching a World Cup soccer game where you can feel like both sides kind of saying like, let's just get to the extra frame. Cause we both get a point out of this. But that goal and a half that's available on FanDuel on every single game is so appealing. I've got to master this, Sal. It seems
like
the bottom feeders are getting rolled every night by the good teams. It's pretty straightforward who's going to win these games. It's just a matter of figuring out the goal and a half or not.
You compare the NHL to baseball betting, where you're also offered a run and a half. Like, you got a good pitcher on the hill, you got a run and a half, but then you have to worry about weird stuff. Like, if they're the home team laying a run and a half, well, they're only going to bat 8 times if they're winning 2-1, right? So that's bad. The hockey, you got up into the very last second, you got a shot at an empty net goal, right? It could be 2-2
precisely
with 1:40 left, and you can win 4-2 if you score quickly. So that's why I like the puck and a half. But yeah, there are some droughts you got to stay away from. Back to college hoops, though. We're going to bet to the future, Dave. Who coaches longer? Roy Williams, -190. Coach K, +150. Or Jim Boeheim, +230. Who hangs it up last? Or maybe gets it hung up for them last? Now, we can guess the ages. I'll be honest. I put the odds according to the ages here. Younger guys got better odds.
I guess, yeah, but also it matters. It's like Pete Carroll. He doesn't, when you watch him, you listen to him, whatever, he doesn't seem like, boy, that's an old man.
Right, and some matters. Of these guys, you know, are old. Some of them are old. Yes,
well, Boeheim was a curmudgeonly, yeah, Boeheim was a curmudgeonly creep in 1985. So, you know, he's had a really exceptional run as a curmudgeon. And by the way, we really need to add Jim Boeheim to the Wilfred Brimley, Sparky Anderson, Angela Lansbury list of guys who he was prematurely old. Like, he still looks, he has for, you know, for 35 years now, he's looked like he's a 52-year-old man.
So how old do you think he is?
That's neither here nor there.
How old do I think
Jim Boeheim is in right now? I mean, listen, he's been around forever, for goodness sake. He's got to be, he was at Syracuse, and unless he got the job when he was 19, he's got to be, 70, right?
He's 76.
Okay.
76.
Wow, 76. He really does. All the bad things I can say about him, he looks pretty good for 76, though.
Coach K? Coach K, how old?
Coach K is, I'm going to guess, you know, played for Coach Knight's Army team way back when. And he landed fairly young over there, coached for the Army, and then he took over at Duke, was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that he is 74 years of age.
74 is right. So let the dark hair go already. Let it go at 74. It's too misleading.
Wait, that's not natural?
People in charge of making odds here. That's going to throw me off. And Roy Williams is 70, and he's the favorite. Who lasts the longest? I think it's funny because I think even though he's got 4 years,
I think he lasts
the
longest too.
Yeah,
that's right. I agree. Roy Williams seems very old.
Right.
And now watch. Well, I mean, I guess the same could be said.
Watch him get knocked out tomorrow, and then he hangs it up for good. That's it. But I think Coach K.
Well, no, it's the opposite though, right? It's when you're successful for a long time, there's no way you go out like this if you're Coach K.
Well, but
incents him to come back. But same could be said of UNC with Roy Williams at this point.
I guess they're all getting the McDonald's All-Americans, right? It's not like Duke has a losing season, so they're going to lose out on the recruiting edge that they had for many, many years, right? So yeah, he could stick around. All right, I say Coach K. You say Coach K also? Let's cash out.
Well, that's no fun if we both say Coach K.
It doesn't really matter.
My family lives one way or the other, right?
Yeah. You're okay.
It's not like one of those, is it?
Or we'll kill your...
At worst, a digit.
Your biggest enemy. How's that?
Ooh, okay. Great. What if it's Jim Boeheim?
It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, then you could knock him off yourself. All right. I'm going to keep track of this. Joel, you keep track of this. Let's see who bows out first. Now, back to hoops. Gonzaga wins their conference tournament. My cousin Jimmy did a nice job last year of proving that Gonzaga doesn't even exist. It's just a word and a term that is thrown out around this time every March, and people fill it out in their brackets, and it's not a school. You can't attend class at this school. And there was an uproar, but no one proved that it was actually an institution, a higher institutional learning. But anyway, they win their conference tournament. They're poised to go undefeated. Should we make a bigger deal out of this? Like, this would be an undefeated team. I'm trying to look at the odds here. So now they have to win 6 games in the tournament, right? And they are at plus 250 to win 6 games. They're that damn good. They're the fifth team to enter the NCAA tournament with an undefeated record, joining Indiana State, 79, UNLV, 91, Wichita State, 2014, Kentucky, 2015. And it's the first time since Indiana's perfect season 45 years ago.
Since 76.
Since 76, right.
Those are the teams that went in undefeated.
Yes.
You know, whether or not they can do it, I mean, they do seem to have everything, although they are a little bit dependent on the perimeter shooting. And as we've seen countless times now, that if you have a little bit of a cold snap in the wrong game, that 40 minutes later, the entire thing gets flushed down the toilet,
right?
Which is why I don't love March Madness as much as the rest of the world does, because I think it's not the greatest test. It's not a meritocracy.
Well, that's what's
fun
about it. Fun,
yes,
it's
exciting.
Different.
But
let it be different from everything. This is going to be the unheralded, most unheralded, is that a term? Team of all time. I think we could say right now, even if they win 6 games, they're not going to get the respect they deserve.
I think it's a great point you make. And watching the game on Tuesday night against BYU. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought this up because I was thinking the same thing. Like, what in the hell? They're undefeated, right? You know, and you know, we were talking about it. With you know, as compared to UNLV, it's that the Zags have tougher competition in 2021 than the running Rebs did in the early 90s. And sure, conference. I mean they were steamrolling pretty much everybody every night. The thing that, as the offshoot of that, not coincidentally, one of the best players in the country is Jalen Suggs. And watching him, too, I was thinking, boy, we don't hear enough about Suggs. So you do hear him attached, obviously, high in the NBA draft, but mm-hmm. not being celebrated, in my opinion, nearly enough. Combo guard. And is he, you know, we're both very old, Sal, at this point.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
We've seen a lot of great freshman seasons from point guards and guards in college ball. Mm-hmm. I think Suggs is up there. His point total is not as mighty as some of these guys, but maybe my favorite freshman season I ever watched was Kenny Anderson in 1990 with Georgia
Tech.
Yeah,
they were fun.
Averaged 20 points and 8 assists and about 2.5 steals. He was something to watch that season. Maybe statistically the best was Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I remember watching the game when he put 50 on whoever it was when he was a freshman at LSU the season before Shaq Fu arrived there. But in his freshman season, he averaged 30 points in the SEC. He averaged 30 points.
He was great.
It was crazy to watch. And it wasn't like he was doing it at the rim either, obviously. He was 6 foot tall or whatever.
What about Marbury? Marbury and Kenny Anderson. And if the New Yorkers remember that, like these guys were heralded. Well, I'm in love with the heralded word today. Even before they made it to college,
that and
right?
poise. That I've noticed you've also you've been enjoying poise today. Yeah,
I like poised.
People in sports are poised to do stuff more than other human beings. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot. Like this team or this coach is poised to do something.
Yep.
Derrick Rose was dynamite. One of the great seasons that ended sadly with Memphis. Trey Young. I forgot that he averaged as many as 27.5. For Oklahoma. That was this season a couple ago that he led the league, but he led the nation in scoring and assists, which is obviously noteworthy. But anyway, Jalen Suggs is up on that list of all-time great seasons. And to your point about the Zags in general, not celebrated nearly enough. I guess it's because of the wonky nature of COVID and all that kind of stuff. I that's the best guess I have for why we're not celebrating.
There's a lot of
as much
now.
As we have passing.
I was reluctant to do it because I thought like a Kia Sorento ad would play loudly, but I did look. Now I'm looking like Bobby Hurley was a great freshman. TJ Ford, Allen Iverson, of course. Right? Who am I forgetting?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Isaiah great as a freshman?
Isaiah won the national title in his sophomore year and then left.
Right. But I'm just
Johnny Dawkins was good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
He was good.
Jason Kidd.
Pearl Washington. That was your growing up team, right? The Cuse?
I think so, yeah, because I went to college. I was St. John's until I went to college, and then because I got
were,
to go
huh?
to the games. Yeah, yeah. Over that Mullen team, that was great. But yeah. Yeah. All right. So
Moses, Willie Glass, Bill Wennington, Walter Berry, the JUCO transfer. Didn't he win Player of the Year that year? And
yes,
still,
he did.
Georgetown was head and shoulders above the rest.
I know.
In 85. That's what we were talking about. That with Hench
above. Yeah. But anyway, this Gonzaga team, you pointed out, they did beat teams outside the WCC. Kansas 102-90, West Virginia 87-82. These are no slouches. West Virginia. It's going to be a two seed. Iowa, 99-88. They beat Virginia, 98-75. And then they survived against BYU. And everyone's like, oh, this team is no good. Well, I had them over 84.5 points yesterday, and they scored 88. They're good in my book. So
it's one of those things, too, where there are a lot of people would be saying, had BYU knocked them off on Wednesday night, people would say, that's good. Best thing that could have happened to the Zags.
Right.
And
yeah.
I, in this case, maybe it would have been better for them.
Yeah, it's not like
the
football.
The extra weight of like going undefeated. I don't know.
I know you love it, but I root against the Boise State. I root for Boise State to lose week 3, so we don't have to listen to nonsense in the college football season for the whole slate. I want all those teams to go away.
I'm fine with that. I don't bellyache about that. I would prefer that. But I'm not having the college college football argument with you right now.
Good.
But I would prefer them to lose. But when they're undefeated, then what are you going to do? Are they in the same division as the SEC and Big Ten, or are they not? They are. And so then if they're undefeated, you must put them into the playoff mix. All right, that's enough.
Joel, who do we miss? We missed a couple babyface. We missed a couple guards. I think I said Iverson.
You got them all. Carmelo Anthony won a title as a freshman.
Of course.
But
not as a guard, though.
Not a guard. Yeah.
He did it all on that team.
He did it all. That was a Jerry McNamara team, if I remember. Hey, listen.
How about Pittsburgh's own Sean Miller being the finishing piece for those great Pitt teams with Paul Evans? They couldn't quite get over the hump.
Jim Beheim,
I don't know whatever happened to Sean Miller.
Was 72 on that team when that's how old he was.
Come on, that's not true. talk about championship teams. The Cowboys have enough. My Mets won the championship today, Dave, or at least they practice celebrating like it's October 2021 and they're going to win the championship. Jim, do you have that? Do you have footage of this?
Everybody celebrate! I want to go to the race. Here we go.
They actually yelled, okay, final out, game seven, let's see it. And they jumped around. It's not as choppy as this, but yeah, everybody was into it. I like this. I think this is gritty.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because you can get hurt celebrating if you don't know what you're doing. They're obviously going to be in contention. I don't have a problem with this. Do you have a problem with a nominated actor or actress writing a speech ahead of time? No, you got to prepare for these events. And it's, you know, it shows moxie, and it's what, like 30 for 30s are made of right there, right? Like, hey, they were so cocky, this team. They were celebrating, what was it, March 10th, and they were celebrating, practicing their celebration. I love it. Now just go out and win.
Well, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme, that you make some valid points of why it's good to do. You certainly don't want anyone Bill Gramatica-ing himself,
right,
as he did, if you remember when the Cardinals kicker jumped up and ripped his knee, and it was never the same. I think he made a return to the NFL after a place kicker celebrating hurt his knee. For the kids out there. So I find it embarrassing, and I think that anytime that with the exception of the Super Bowl shuffle from the 85 Bears, when teams do stuff like this prematurely, it comes back to bite them. Do you think this is going to be good in September if it's a close race and the Nationals are going to be like, hey, Mets, remember this? This is going to come back again and again and again. Yes. If you're on social media, if you're the social media guy for the Nationals or the Braves or whomever, this is something that you will retain and you will deploy when necessary to mock the Metropolitan.
Interesting.
And they will deserve it. Seth.
Well, explain to me why it's different watching Juju TikToking at midfield and you thinking that's adorable and, oh, who cares what they say? And if people need this to inspire them, they're not real football players and all that. That show must be a very, very finite nuance. What is it? What's the difference?
Listen, he's the Miami Dolphins problem now. I don't know if you saw on
Wednesday
afternoon.
It was your problem.
He went on Twitch and he's like, March 17th, free at last, or whatever he said, or I'm free or something like that. And wearing a Dolphins jersey and all this and that. He's not the Steelers problem anymore. Yes, I understand. Behind closed doors, that all pro football teams with all their dancing and everything with their touchdown celebrations are rehearsing. The mistake is letting this be caught on camera. That's the problem. It's fine to do it. You got to have your
what are you talking about? He put it on camera himself. It wasn't a mistake.
Oh, that part. Oh, the Juju on the logo.
Yes. You were okay with that. You were more than okay with that.
Well, that was mocking their foes. Who are they mocking other than themselves jumping around grown men dancing with each other out on the dirt?
They're practicing for the inevitable, the 2021 champion Mets. Congratulations. I'm proud to be a fan of the organization. Very exciting.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. I want you to hold on to that just in case, you know, just in case it's the only one you get.
Hey, we have a couple of emails.
Oh,
you mentioned Florida State, and I mentioned Florida State, that they had won 11 overtime games in a row. this Florida State Seminole basketball team. We asked people to write in at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com to let us know if that's a record. It ties the NCAA record with Louisville, UMass, and Virginia. Thank you, Stockton 12, for that. A couple of people commented on this. Ryan Gilmore said the 93 Montreal Canadiens won a record 10 straight playoff overtime games during their run to the cup. Well, I'm not sure if that's more or less impressive. Is that more impressive because it's playoff? But hockey seems to go to the overtime a lot. I don't know.
I mean, listen, if you're always on the right side of it, if I'm not mistaken, that was during the Claude Lemieux when he had that crazy run where it seemed like every time they went to overtime, he was netting the winner. And Patty Waugh in his young days was standing on his head. So I guess the math works out there because, they won the cup and I'm trying to think, did they go right back to the finals 2 years later? I can't remember.
Well, Mike Young writes, I'm sure he got this from others, but the Montreal Canadiens won 10 overtime games in a row to win the 93 Stanley Cup. Dave will remember that year that the Islanders ending the Penguins Cup run in 7 and doing the dirty work for the Canadiens. You remember that, Dave? I don't know what, Dave. Yeah, he doesn't remember praising Juju Smith-Schuster for dancing, so who knows what he remembers anymore.
No. No, my memory's hazy on what happened in 93. You broke my heart.
The extra points gang at gmail.com. Reach out to us.
Dave, wait. I'm getting, what happened? I'm being told the Pirates in spring training earlier today practiced telling players that they're being traded to a contender.
Oh, really? Wow. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Is there footage of that?
Yeah, I think there is.
Okay, good. Pull that up for us, Jim, if you can. The extra points gang at gmail.com. Hit us up with an email. Let us know how you think we're doing here. Dave, you're at Damashek. You got a -3 in the bag for the week. You're doing
that's
another
it?
One.
I thought we were doing questions. I thought we were doing Q&A.
What do you mean Q&A? Oh, no, that was it.
You got
it.
Places to go. I thought we had letters. I thought we had notes.
Nah, that's enough.
I get a
that's
lot
enough.
Of good notes.
It's nighttime.
Right, that's fine. We can cut
we
it
did
off
50
there.
Minutes. Yeah, that's fine. Good. Because you know why, Dave? We got to get ready for Joe Lenardi. He's coming on Monday.
I heard
Isn't
about
that fun?
This. I heard about
that. Now,
this.
You spoke ill of him so many times, and now you're going to have to own up to it. What? No. Yes, you did. You said a 4-year-old could do
his job. Well, if that's
how
you want to... Well, I didn't say that. I said that I didn't know if I should admire him or the opposite. What I said was, somehow this man, Lenardi...
Yeah.
Has turned 4 minutes of work into a full-time job.
Right.
And it's gone on for 25 years now. I mean, I'm envious of him all
time. All right. It wasn't complimentary as you're framing it now, the hours leading up to his arrival here on extra points.
Bracketologist, let me tell you something. If Duke wins out, they're not a bubble team.
All right, here's what I want you to do.
They're going in.
Here's what I want you to do.
The Cuse, they're on the bubble.
You're
Let me just say
fun.
To you right now, Cuse on the bubble. They may get in. They may not. I don't know.
He doesn't
That's
say
what he
that.
Does.
He does a nice job. It's first four. It used to just be first four in, first four out. Now it's first four buys, last four in, first four out. Why are you laughing at that? This is a complicated thing.
Who holds
thing
his feet to the fire on that? He has the first four out. Then he has the next four out. Like,
right.
Well, who proves or disproves that he was right about who the first four in the last.
Well, not everyone, first of all, could be a fruitologist.
You understand.
That's you. But well,
you understand you don't have to kiss his ass. You understand he's not on yet. You can wait. You can hold the ass kissing off until
he
shows up.
Right. And you could lay back on just going back on your word, how much you hated him. But yes,
I'm a gentleman. What am I going to do? I'm a gentleman and we're going to bring him onto this program and I'm gonna go at him. That's not my way, Sal.
Well, luckily I'm not. I'm not a gentleman. I have to air all the dirty laundry that's brought up here. But here, why don't you do this? You pick you pick the 68 that should be in the field. Now you could wait till Sunday.
Okay.
Do it Sunday morning. I think there'll be like 2 games left. And probably the teams playing will all already be in. You don't have to rank them. Just write down the 68 that should be in the field. Don't use Lenardi's stuff. You could do anything else.
No.
You could look at all the quad one stats and all that. Anything else anyone has access to. Don't copy anyone's list. Do it yourself. See how many out of the 68 you can get. And then if you end up with once like
everybody,
45.
So bottom line is once everybody by Sunday, once 99% of the participants in the tournament have secured their bid with an automatic entry or with an overwhelming record, I'll basically be 99. Tasked in it's a few 99. Days. No. I'm gonna be thinking about this. I'm gonna be pretty close to that. It's about 97%. Basically, what you're asking me to do is see if I can come up with. Out of the three teams that are actually on the bubble, which two are going to make the tournament?
Well, first of all, hold on. His job is much more than that.
That's what it is.
He also has the top four seeds and everything. He doesn't just do who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Good night.
Well, we know who that is too by Sunday. Not the top one. Almost every time. We know three out of the four.
Not, I'm not saying the top one seeds. I'm saying the top like one through four on each different side of the bracket. So basically, he'll seed it. He'll give you the top 10 seeds in each conference or each, what am I trying to say? Each quad there. So each region.
Well, I mean, great news. It's sad that you may lose all your family.
Mm-hmm.
But if Melissa's out of the picture, now you're freed up to marry your true love, Joe Lenardi. Jeez, oh man. Well, boy, but he gets the second number one seed.
Oh,
what do I know?
Jim Cunningham, please, I hope you're pulling these sound bites when Dave cowers. Cowers in the corner. It's like, I can't. The people are making noise in my ear. I can't do it. It sounds like ice cream. Please, Jim, pull these clips. Jim, will you do that? 32 teams get automatic bids. And then another 25. So it's like 11 teams that really could be.
Oh, come on. You could without breaking a sweat, you could knock out. You could knock out 60 of them right now.
I'm going to
do
it,
too. You could knock out 60 of them without thinking.
I'm going to do it, too. Good. I'll tell you what. I'll do better than you, I think, because I'm a maniac. I still do the brackets for each conference tournament, and I will be doing this for the NCAA, too. I do this, and I hurry over. I said this on Against All Odds. I've been doing this for, 25 years. And not only that, for the last 3 weeks, I've been doing who's in, who's out, and a green, what is it? Green is the last four buys, four is the last four in, pink is the last four out, and yellow is the first four out. I got it all written down, not committed to memory, but I will make my list of 68, and you should do the same.
That is, I've never admired you more than I do in this moment. I really do. I think that's terrific. I really do. I love you. We all have our within sports, we all have our sweet spots. Mine, for whatever reason, is I love football playoffs and Super Bowl lore, and I know a lot about all that crap. You keeping those lists, that reminds me. I used to in my by the TV, I put up one of those Nerf hoops on the back of the door, and I would do a full bracket, and I'd shoot free throws to see who would win the tournament. I would play the entire thing out. Shooting free throws with these teams. And sometimes if Pitt went really deep, sometimes the team they were playing in the Final Four would have a bad shooting night.
Is that right?
Wow. Going.
All right.
So it happened a couple of times.
Well,
no one can ever prove anything.
How did you fill your brackets? Did you copy Joe Lenardi or did you just did the brackets on your own?
Somehow I was able to look at the actual brackets and put them down without Joe Lenardi telling me where everybody belonged.
We have
who was on the bubble and who didn't make it.
A fun NCAA contest coming to you next week. We'll get into it on Monday. But until then, Dave, -3. You got one coming up with Hench. Hopefully he gives you hell.
Oh, like I can't. I mean, me. Two in. I got to say. Two episodes in with Hench, we've done four, what I feel are four really strong shows on -3 over the last couple of weeks. Go listen to them. If you're a puck fan, great time to jump in and learn all about what's going on in the NHL with Josh Yoey from The Athletic did a great show with us. But Hench has been just as insane as you would have thought. And it's been delightful to experience.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or bad. I get insane followed up by delightful.
Neither do I, but I find myself intrigued each time. Like, I don't know if I'm happy or sad by the time we stop recording the show, but I know it was interesting.
Spaghetti and meatballs. I want you to answer separately and don't be afraid because I will have talking to someone if they give you some feedback on your answer here. But Hench, more delightful or insane? Spaghetti, start with you.
I think he had a stretch. I mean, I find him funny. I'll say that first, but I think he's definitely borderline insane because of a stretch he had last week from John Starks looping it in with like the Twin Tower bombings to Marilyn Monroe to Joe DiMaggio to
Mia
like,
Farrow. Yeah.
I mean, it was. It was just like, it was an insane streak that he was just nailing these jokes. Honestly, one of the hardest songs I've ever laughed in my life. So I am enjoying, I hit record and I let the magic happen.
It's all right. But you said insane. We'll go with insane.
It's borderline insane for sure.
Meatballs. What was it? Delightful or insane?
I'm going to go insane too. agreeing with Danny there. He's from Boston. So that pretty much says this all.
He really is. He, boy, catch that. I'm going to listen. You all should listen. -3. The second episode, listen to the first one as well. We got a lot of content we're putting out there. And a reminder to everyone out there who may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites. See you next week.